Okay, so in the bottom of Mem Zayin or Beis, we were discussing, we're going back and forth between Rabba and Rav Chisda about the din of Hoyel, whether Hoyel works or not, whether you hold of such a concept. And the Gemara just previously brought a sugya that had to do with Mevashel, Gidonosha, Bechalav, and Yontif, and you created these five different Yisurim, we get five sets of lashes. And one of the things listed as one of the Malkos was Havara. And that was posed a question for Rabba. So Rabba said, you know what, Havara really shouldn't be on the list. Havara is not the fifth lav one's over, rather Mux. So Mux is on the list of the five. So the Gemara just said, is Mux really deraisa? And the Gemara says, yes, Mux is deraisa. So the Gemara brought a pasuk, v'ayabayum ashishi v'achinus eshayavu, and they brought the azhara from Milo Sasa Komla. So now we're five lines from the bottom of Mem Zayin Mabez. The Gemara says, Amr Lei. So I think Abaye says to Rabba, Rabba is the one who explained this muksa, Rabba, aren't you the one who told us the following? The question was posed to Rav Chisda, others say it was posed to Rav Huna, the following shayla. You took a seh from the Efer. So Efer Rashi says, Efer is Achu, it's Muksahu. It's a place, it's I think a swampy area where it wasn't, since Rashi continues, She'enu nichnas liyushuv yamim rabim. It wasn't brought to the places where the normal cattle were left. It was out of mind. It was Muksa. The owner didn't realize this was under his cattle, and they brought it on Yontif, it became Muksa, it wasn't prepared. So you happen to shecht it for the purpose of a carbon tumid. Mahu, what's the din? Can you now throw the blood? Could you do zrikas dam on the mizbech from the carbon tamid? Could you throw all the different limbs of the carbon tamid onto the mizbech? That's a shayla. Is muksa going to disqualify a carbon? Says the Gemara, v'at amrslan, and you rabbis told us the following answer. At amrslan Allah seh, the pasuk says seh. This is a pasuk Rashi says in Yecheskel. The pasuk says seh, and to the exclusion of lo b'chor. You cannot use a b'chor, a firstborn animal, as a seh for the carbon tamid. Achas, the pasuk says, below meiser. You have to bring one singular, but not a tenth, not the tenth animal. A meiser behema cannot be brought as a carbon tamid. Min hatzon, says the pasuk, has to come from the sheep. Velo hapalgus. Palgus, Rashi tells us, the last Rashi in the page, min hatzon velo kol, so not every type of tzon, only some of the tzon, meaning, miuta is an exclusion, who lehotzi pilgas. Yotze michlal keves, wilchal ayaloba. It's a younger type of lamb, but hasn't yet reached, I'm not sure the different names.
It's the in-between.
Exactly. I don't know what it would be called in English, Jenny. But Rashi goes on to say, it's left a keves. It's not a kevish, but it's not yet an aisle, not a full-grown goat yet.
Right. It's like an ara. Like in an ara, in exactly, a woman. That's right. Like, she's not a woman, she's not a girl, she's an ara. This is a palgas.
Exactly. And Rashi defines this as hainu kol chodesh shlosha, so the 13th month. That's when it's this in-between period. The keves ben shana, who has to be a year old, the aisle mishenichsa l'shana shniyah, when it enters the second year. So the 13th month is already on the fence. That disqualifies. So then the Gemara goes on to darsh the further part of the pasuk. Then the pasuk says, min hamasayim. What is min hamasayim? From 200. Says the Gemara, mimoser shte mos shenishtayru bibor. That was left over from 200, left over in the pit, meaning Mikan la arla shibitela bimasayim. We learn from here that arla is batel in 200. So the Rashi tells us we're talking about not the animal, but we're referring to this point in the nesachim, the wine libations that go along with the carbon tamid. And they learn from what do you learn from masayim? What do you learn from the word 200? We learn that if it was arla that was mixed, there's 200 times the amount of arla in this in the wine, the arla is going to be batel.
I thought arla is never batel. Ever.
No, Arla, if you have 200
it
times.
It is,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's Tevel that's never Batel.
Kalaim, I think it was.
Kalaim.
Yeah, Kalaim, I think we said. And then the Gemara says, further the pasuk says, Mimashka Yisrael. From Mashka Yisrael, something says, Min Hamutal Yisrael. You're only allowed to bring a carbon that, in theory, that someone's allowed to eat, that's mutter to be eaten. But if it's not mutter to be eaten, you cannot bring this as a carbon. Mikan Amru, from here we say, Ein Mevin Nesachim Min HaTevel. You can't bring Nesachim that have not yet been tied. You haven't taken Meiser on it yet. It's still Tevel, since a person cannot eat it because it's Tevel. So too, you can't bring such a carbon for the such a wine as Nesachim. Yachol Gemara asks, Lo Yavi Min HaMuksa. Maybe you shouldn't be able to bring Muks either, because Muks is Aser to be eaten. So you shouldn't be able to bring it as a carbon. So Amrus Ma Tevel, so they answer, Ma Tevel Miyuchad She Iser Gufo Garmlo, just like Tevel, it's an intrinsic Iser, it itself is Aser. Af kol she'iser gufo garmlo. So to any other thing that is intrinsically usher. Yata muksa she'in iser gufo garmlo. However, muksa is not intrinsically usher. El iser davar acher garmlo. It's something external. The existence of Shabbos tells us that the muksa is going to be usher. But not that the muksa itself is usher. It's something externally is causing it. Now, v'i amris iser. That was the answer, Rabba. Rabba explained that whole case. Therefore, muksa is permitted. For muksa of Shabbos is permitted to bring as a carbon. Now they say to Rabba, "V'i amris iser muksa deraisa." If you, Rabba, really hold muksa is a din deraisa, mali iser gufa, mali iser davar acher. Who really cares whether muksa is intrinsically aser or muksa is aser because of Shabbos? It's an aser iser deraisa. Regardless, across the board, it should be aser to be brought as a carbon. Sounds like muksa must only be an iser derabanan. That's the question they have. The ode, furthermore, they ask. Ha'at huda amris, even if you want to contend that muksa, let's say muksa is deraisa. Let's say that's how you want to say it. So still, we have the following concept. Chilik malachos l'shabbos v'ein chilik malachos l'yomtif. So what turns out, in this case, we're talking about mevashel gid basar b'chalav on yomtif. So you already have an iser bishel on yomtif. You can't have a second iser muksa on yomtif also, because there's no chilik malachos on yomtif. Doesn't make a difference. Once you violate one malach on yomtif, you could violate 10 malachos. It's only one iser you're over in yomtif. Shabbos, you have chilik malachos. You could be over up to 39 different malachos in Shabbos. Yomtif, you're over one, you're over 10. It's all the same thing. It's only going to be one malacha. So adding muksa into the mix will not give you a second set of lashes. So therefore, muksa is off. A number of interesting things come out of this Gemara here. One thing is, what's the conclusion of the Gemara? The conclusion of the Gemara is muksa deraisa, muksa derabanan. Seemingly, the Gemara sounds like muksa is actually derabanan, and that's the general consensus, that it's din derabanan. But there's a Rashi in Beitza, and there's a Baal Itter that says muksa is in fact deraisa. And that's not so crazy to read the Gemara this way. First of all, the Gemara says, what's the va'od? The second kashi they ask in Rabbah. Furthermore, they say, even if you want to say muksa is deraisa, there's still ain chilek melachos b'yamtiv. It sounds very much so that they're entertaining the possibility of deraisa. Tosus and Erevin already asks on Rashi, Rashi, how could you possibly say Muksa is deraisa? The Gemara in Pesachim Memches says it's a din derabanan. So Tosus answers, or Miri rather answers, Miri comes to defend Rashi and says, this whole sugya is lefi Rabba. According to Rav Chista, it's deraisa. So it's really machlokas Amoraim who thinks whether it's deraisa or derabanan. The Shita Mikubetas and Beta says it's actually two dinim. Depends what davar muksa we're talking about. If we're talking about a food item is actually is an iser deraisa based on the pasuk that v'hayaba yom hashishi ve'chinu es hasher yaviu. That pasuk of preparing the food, that's talking about food. That's the source. The Gemara brings the source. That type of muksa of food is deraisa. Other types of muksas is only a din derabanan.
So in this case,
it would sound like a deraisa, which again I think seems to be the Gemara's pushing in that direction. The Gemara doesn't really blankly they reject this possibility. It sounds like it still entertains the possibility that muksa is deraisa. Now, another interesting thing comes out of this sugya also, the din of mashke yisrael, mina mutal yisrael, that one of the dinim is that for a carbon to be a good carbon, it has to be something that a person is able to eat. So they ask the following question. How could Adam and Noah, how were they able to bring karbanos? At their times, basar was asar. They were not allowed to eat meat in their time. So if they can't eat meat, it's not mimashka yisrael. They couldn't be able to bring up carbon. So Kli Chemda and others answer as follows. The iser for Adam and Noach to eat meat was not a mefurish din deraisa. It wasn't a mefurish tzivor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are allowed to eat vegetables, you are allowed to eat fruit, you could eat those things which grow from the ground. He never allowed them to eat anything else. So what was the iser? The Yad Ramah writes as follows. The iser of eating other things of meat was simply an iser gzela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. We have no rights to do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to remove the iser gzela from food that grow from the ground. But the iser that remained on meat still remained intact. And that was an iser gzela. Not because there's an iser to have meat, because an iser gzela. An iser gzela is not going to create a chefs shel iser. If you steal an object, that's not going to disqualify karbanos because of mashke yisrael. It's going to be another issue of a mitzvah babi avera. But it won't create a shame chalos iser on the actual food item. The food item is be'etzim, it's really intrinsically mutter. It's just that you stole it, so mitzvah babi avera. So here too also, when it comes to basar in the times of Adam and Noach, it wasn't intrinsically usher. It was just like, you can't touch it because Hashem owns it. But it wasn't a din of mashke yisrael. That's how they answer that question. Then others ask the question, how could you bring karbanos to Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, it's usher, of course, to eat everything. So then it becomes a problem of mashke yisrael. It's not, if it's not merited to be eaten, these karbanos, you cannot eat it. So how are you allowed to bring karbanos to Yom Kippurim?
That was a question in the last page, you know, about the lechem apanim. Or, because lechem apanim right before Rosh Hashanah, and I think it was like, you prepare it on Thursday, because Rosh Hashanah fell on Thursday, Friday, right. So you prepared it on Wednesday right. for next Shabbat, which is Yom Kippur.
Right.
So it's like, you can't eat it anyway, so what are we preparing it for?
Right, so that's Rashi already answers that. Rashi says, it's a case where they weren't sure when Rosh Hashanah was, depending on the Eidim.
Right.
So Friday was really day one of Tishrei. So Yom Kippur was really a Sunday. But this question is, on Yom Kippur, on a regular Yom Kippur, it's also, of course, to eat everything. So now this carbon that's in front of me is also to be eaten. It's not a mashki yisrael. It's not something mutter to be eaten. How am I allowed to bring that as carbonos? Isn't it disqualified from bring carbonos? The Chassam Sofer says, the essence, the avod in Yom Kippur is the carbonos. That is what the Torah tells us to do. Despite the fact that it is also to eaten, the Torah tells us this is what's supposed to be done. So once it's supposed to be done, it's a special gezeres hakasav. The psuk in Parshat Achrimos tells us you have to bring carbonos despite the fact that it doesn't qualify as mashki Yisrael. The Kovit Shirim of Elchanan Wasserman says as follows. He says differently. He says no. The Isser of Yom Kippur to eat is not an intrinsic Isser, while Muksa is an intrinsic Isser. He says as follows. That since when it comes to Yom Kippur, everything is Asser. It's not a specific food that's Asser. Everything's Asser across the board. It's generic. It's a generic Isser, which does not come intrinsically to each item. So it's kind of like the Gzela case, the Isser Gzela. It's not intrinsic to the Isser. It's more external. Yom Kippur is a blanket Isser across the board, so it's not intrinsic to the piece of meat, the piece of food, whatever it is. Muksa, however, is specific to those items that were not prepared. Once it becomes specific, it becomes more intrinsic. And that's how Rav Chanan distinguishes. And therefore, Yom Kippur, that's the heter bring karbanos, it is considered Mashka Yisrael. Okay, says the Gemara now. So therefore, we said it can't be Muksa, cannot be the fifth Isser we're talking about. Which Isser are we referring to? So three Y lines down the Gemara. Ella apik Havara, va'ayil Atzei Asheira. Remove Havara, right, Havara is off the list, and include Atzei Asheira, which is wood used for Avodah Zarah. Va'azhara, where's the source of this Isser? Mehacha v'lo yidbak biyadecha muma minacherim. That's a Mefurash Pasuk. You cannot have any Hana from Atzei Asheira, from any type of Avodah Zarah. So Amar Rav Acha Breid Rava, he responds to Labaye now. Nami Mishum V'lo Savi Toiva El Beisecha. There's two malchus. We're getting Hana from Avodah Zarah. There are actually two sources. The second source is don't bring any Toiva, don't bring any Avodah Zarah into your house. So there should be really two. There should be a total of six sets of lashes. So in that Isser of Lo Tavi Toiva El Beisecha, the base Levi brings a machlokus. We showed him three way machlokus. We showed him what is the nature of this Isser Lo Savi Toiva El Beisecha. The Rambam writes, the Isser is to get any Hana, regardless of not bringing to your house. You get Hana. It's a way of just saying, don't get Hana from Avodah Zarah. The Chinuch says, the Isser is bringing Avodah Zarah into your house, al manas to get Hana from it, and you actually get Hana from it. You need to bring in your house and get Hana. And the third opinion is that of Tosos in Avodah Zarah, who says, bring it to your house without even getting Hana. Just bringing an idol into your house is an Isser of this low Savi Soeva. So again, either it's bringing it to your house, or it's getting Hana, or it's both. You need to bring it to your house and get Hana. So the Turi Evan wants to bring a rye from our sugya, it must be all about getting Hana. Because they say, you should also get lashes for bringing Avodah Zarah into your house. We're not talking about bringing Avodah Zarah into your house. Who said we're talking about a house? Just stop an Isser, wherever you are, you're making something in a stove outside. Who says it bring it to your house? So it's mashma from here that the Isser is getting Hana from it. The Aruch Laner said there's not a Raya here. How do you know? Maybe you are talking about bringing it to your house. How do you know that's not the case? So not a Raya from there. So let's go by it now. Says the Gemara, so therefore we throw out, it can't be a case of a Avodah Zarah. Ella, apik Havar, remove Havar from the list. V'ayil Atzei Hekdesh. You're referring to using wood of Hekdesh, and that's the fifth lav, Vazhar Mehacha. Where's the source? Vashereim Tisrefun Be'ish, Lo Sasun Kein Lashem Elokeichem. So you're supposed to burn Nashereim, you're supposed to burn Avodah Zarah, but do not burn Hekdesh. That would be a violation, that would be a Lo Sasei Derais. Okay. So we're running out of time. Well, so Amar Rebbe Yechama Bar, Ami 640. Yeah.
Really plow.
Okay, let's go for it. Amir Berchama Hadar of Chisir Rabba. This machlokus of Chisir Rabba, about whether you hold of Hoel or not, in fact, says Rami Berchama, is a machlokus of Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua. It's the same machlokus you saw earlier. The machlokus you saw back in Mem Vav. You had a chal, an Isa, dough that became Tameh. How are you supposed to do it? tame, it's tevel. How are you supposed to eat it? So we had three opinions. Rabbi Elazar says you're supposed to bake it and then call it challah, and we'll skip Ben Becerra for now. Rabbi Yeshua says no, you just call challah now while it's dough, and then you end up letting it. If it turns into chametz, it turns into chametz. So why Rabbi Yeshua? Why did Rabbi Elazar allow you to bake it? Even though it's usher to eat, you can't eat it now. It's tevel. You haven't taken challah. How are you allowed to bake it? Isn't that an iser of baking? It's shlo l'tzarecho on yom tif. So therefore, I understand why Rabbi Yeshua says don't bake it, because since it's usher b'tevel, you're not allowed to bake something. Separate the challah now and then bake the rest. How does Rabbi Elazar allow you to bake challah when it's usher to be eaten? So the Gemara says as follows: the Rabbi Elazar saver amrin and holo. Rabbi Elazar says you can say holo since each. Let's Rashi says it clearer than I'm going to say it. Rashi says machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua hi. The Rabbi Eliezer saver amrin and holo. Even though in the end one of them is going to be challah, end up you did some work which is not fit to be eaten. Despite that fact, it's possible you don't want to take one whole piece of dough, rather take a little bit of each one, and therefore each dough, each roll challah is roi l'achila. So therefore, you can say hoel according to Rabbi Eliezer. Back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua saver lo amrin hoel. You don't say hoel. And since right now you haven't taken challah yet, you can't bake it. It's also to be eaten. So this machlok is Rabbi Rav Chista about hoyel. In fact, is also machlok is Tanaim before them, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer. Says, Amar Rav Papa, the Dilma, maybe it's not the same. Dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam dabi in hoyel. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only says hoyel in the case of the Mishnah of challah. El in the ka'il l'tanura. The moment you place each roll into the dough, into the oven rather, each one has potential for you to be eaten. Aval hacha, but here in the case of preparing food on yontif, but their only food is not fit for you, because the case Rashi tells us, you already ate your meal, you're full on yontif. So it's not fit for you, it's only fit for the guests. And ema hachanami delor min hoyel, whoever said guests are going to come, so maybe in this case you shouldn't say hoyel. Only in the case of dough, where each one is actually fit for you yourself baking it, it's permitted. But the case of yontif is not fit for you, it's fit for guests who may never come. So maybe Rabbi Elazar wouldn't say hoyel in our case, not the same thing. Amar Rav Shisha Berei Ravidi, he says the different direction. V'dilma lohi ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua, maybe Rabbi Yeshua hasam delor min hoyel, only in the case of challah, he does not say hoyel. Because there's going to be one roll that will not be fit for anybody. It won't be fit for me because I'm not a Kohen, it's Chal. But it won't be fit for the Kohen either because it's Tameh. So it's not fit for anybody. One of them is completely not right for anybody. So don't cook it. Here in the case of cooking for Yantiv, the Chazi Mias L'Orchim, at least every single food item you're cooking is Chazi to someone, it's Chazi to Orchim. Maybe here Rabbi Yeshua will admit you can't say hol.
But so that's only in the case that you're going to be mafrish a one full challah. And you know, then it's not fine for to anybody. But if you're going to take a piece out of every single one of them, then we can refute what he just said. No,
right. So I guess the point was typically, or perhaps it's even advised to take one piece of challah. It's the best way. As opposed to taking a little bit here and there, the best way is to take one chunk. So now Amru Rabban Kame the Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zera, the Rabban told the sugya over in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah Kibla, Rabbi Yirmiyah accepted the sugya. He liked what this was. This whole connecting the case of Rabbi Rav Chista to Rabbi Elazar Yeshua, he liked that. And then Rabbi Zera lo Kibla, Rabbi Zera did not like this connection between the two. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah looks over to Rabbi Zera. Milsa de Kashlam, we had this issue that troubled us for so many years. But also Kamashani, it was so difficult. We didn't understand. But my pligi Rabbi Elazar Yeshua, we didn't know what they're arguing about. And now Hashta comes along, Amrua Mishmei de Gav Rabba, and they say a beautiful sugyo in the name of a great Rebbe, Remi Berchama, Velok Nikabli, and now Rabbi Zera, you're not going to accept it? We're so troubled, we have a great shot now. Amalei, so Rabbi Zera says back, Heichik Akabli, how could I accept this pinin? The Tanina, we have the following mission that says, Amrle Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, the Dvarecha, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you to bake the dough on Yantif, Harehu over Mishum Losa Sekam Lacha, you're going to violate Melacha of Din Deraisa. How can you bake if it's not right to eat anybody? Vishasikle, Rabbi Eliezer never responds. Now, if Rabbi Eliezer held the Svara, Le Malay, time of the day, he should have said, my reasons, Mishum Hoel. He should have responded Hoel. The fact that Mishum does not record the response of Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't say Hoel, must be Hoel is not the reason of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yirmiyah looks at him, what do you mean? Amar Le, according to your very reasoning, Had the Tanina, that we have another Brisa, Amr lo Rabbi Elazar devarecha. Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yeshua this time, devarecha, according to your opinion, Rabbi Yeshua, that you cannot bake the challah. You rather let the dough just sit out. Harehu over mishim bali yirah bali matzeh. You, by letting the dough just sit out, you're going to be over the iser of chametz on yontif. V'shasiklei. And Rabbi Yeshua is silent. Hachanami de lo hader. He doesn't respond. But hachamadat hader lebe masnisim. You're right. In the Brisa, he may not respond. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't respond in the Brisa. But be masnisim, in the mission, arve mishim and vav, he does respond. The Tanan, which Rabbi Yeshua says, lo zeo chametz shemuzhar nalav, mishim bayirah bayi matzeh. This type of dough, which is not owned by anybody, it's challah, that's tameh. I don't own it. The coin doesn't own it. It's hefker, basically. That's not muzhar bayirah bayi matzeh. So, in other words, even though the Brisa never showed the response of Rabbi Yeshua, the Mishnah elsewhere showed the response of Rabbi Yeshua. So, elishasiklei, for Brisa. So, therefore, here also, Rabbi Eliezer's response, it was quiet in the Brisa. The Brisa didn't mention Rabbi Eliezer's psak, his response, which would have been hoil. It was brought in another Mishnah. Here too also by Rabbi Elazar, Amer, Rabbi Elazar didn't give his response to the Mishnah. But maybe somewhere else, which we don't know, but maybe somewhere else, Rabbi Eliezer gave a response. In other words, just because he never gave his response to the Mishnah doesn't mean he doesn't hold to that. So therefore,
yeah, but with Rabbi Yeshua, we're showing specific reply. With this, you're saying, maybe he did reply. What kind of answer?
No, because
that?
We had a Brisa. We had a Brisa and a Mishnah. One Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer asked the Kashrut Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua didn't give a response. But we found the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua did give a response. Right. So we see sometimes the Mishnahs and Brisas don't show the whole dialogue.
No, but we found the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua gives the answer.
We did.
We're not finding anything that Rabbi Eliezer is giving an answer. But we're just kind of relying on maybe he did.
It's true, but there are a lot of Brisas that we didn't know of that were lost. The people. So it's speculation. But the fact that he doesn't respond doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't hold that way. It can't. It's an open question.
Okay.
So. The pshat is a good pshat. I mean, the Rami Bar Chama was a good pshat connecting Rabbi of Chista to Rabbi of Yeshua. You don't reject it because he didn't have a response. That's all. It's not a good rejection of it. It's not a proof either, though. So send the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Halacha, ki Rabbi Eliezer. So back to the Mishnah Challah. We had a three-way machlokas. What do you do with dough that becomes tameh? So one opinion we said, Rabbi Eliezer says, mafresh, bake it, and then be mafresh challah. Ben Becerra said, put it in cold water. Putting it in cold water will... to prevent it from growing. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, just take challah now and let it sit and grow on its own. So that three-way machlokas, Rabbi says, Omer halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. We pass in that way. That says you're supposed to bake it and then take the challah. Rabbi Yitzhak Omer halacha k'ben b'seira, that you're supposed to put it in cold water and let it just sit and stop growing. Now, new topic. We're related, but slightly new discussion. Kamashir, what's the shir? Kamashir isa. How much of a dough are you allowed to bake masa at one time? So without... if it's too large, sometimes the dough is too large, it might get issues of watching over chametz. So what's enough? What's the limit of how big you can make the dough so it shouldn't turn into chametz? So Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Bechit, and when it comes to wheat, kavin, the amount is 2 kav. Ubisaor and Shloshes kavin, when it comes to barley, it's 3. Rabbi Nosson, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Lazar, Chiluf Hadvarim. No, it's the opposite. Chitim is 3, Saorim is 2. V'had Tanya, doesn't the Brisa say Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who was the first opinion? Omer bechitin shloshes kavin, ubesorin arba kavin. First we said 2 versus 3 in the name of Yochanan ben Broka. Now we're saying 3 versus 4. What to change? Why one time chitas 2 and chitas 3 now? And before sorin was 3, now sorin is 4. So lo kasha, ha bechasi chasa, ha bemaliyasa. Depends. One, the first case was where this first case is where it's better flour. The second case is where it's worse flour. So the worse flour, so in 3 kav, you end up throwing out some of the bad wheat. So 3 chit of bad is equal to 2 wheat of good, and four bad barley is equal to 3 good barley. That's what the Gemara says. So Rapapa says Shema Mina. We learn from here in regards to Mekach HaMemkar that Mine Shema Mina Girin Chitig worse. Worse are Chiti Chasichasa Michita Mialsa. Worse are bad wheat with respect to good wheat is worse. Tvei midegarin and sari chasichasa misari baliyasa is worse than barley, bad barley to barley, good barley. So the ratio is as follows. So good barley to bad barley is 4 to 3, which is a difference of a quarter only. The drop off is not so bad, but the difference of chita is 2 to 3. It's a third. So therefore, we see the difference of good to bad barley, good to bad wheat is greater than the difference with good barley to bad barley. Dila Hassan, the Gemara says, Hassan comes to barley, tilsa, it's a difference of a third. Of wheat, it's a difference of a third. V'hacha revi, when it comes to wheat, it's a difference, barley rather, it's a difference of a quarter. Okay, just a side point there. So Amar Rav says as follows, Kava milogna, kava from this place called Logna, the Pischa, when they made dough for Pesach, the chen l'chala, so too when they made it for challah, that's this shear, kava milugna. V'hatana, doesn't the Brisa say the shear for challah is not a kava, the shear for challah is chameshes revoim kemach v'od, four-fifths of flour and a little bit more, chayavim b'challah. So it's a difference of shear. Hachi kamar, this is what they mean to say, kava milugnai nami ahai shear kai. No, the shear of four-fifths of kemach and a little more is the same exact shear of a kava found in this place, milugnai. Okay, it doesn't really mean much to us. I don't know exactly how to translate the shirim for our purposes. Amr of Yosef, Hani Nashi Didan, our women, Nog Lemefe Kiviza Kiviza Pesach. Their minag, they were so careful of chametz, they would not make a dough the size of the kavaim we said before. It wouldn't make two kavachita. They make much smaller amounts of dough for Pesach to prevent from turning to chametz. Amr Lebai, Bai says back, My Daicha Lechumra. What you das to be chumra? They're so machmir in chametz. Is that the issue? They don't want to get chametz, so they have such a small shear. Chumra dasli de kulahu. It's going to turn out to a kula. What's the kula? Deka mafkli michalav. By making such a small shear, they're going to be exempting themselves from challah. There's a mitzvah to take challah. Amar lei de avdin k'Rabbi Eliezer. No, they hold like Rabbi Eliezer, who says Rabbi Eliezer omer harode v'nosin l'sal. If a person removes the bread from the oven and places it into a basket, hasal mitzarif from l'challah. The basket is able to mitzarif all the different doughs. So even though each dough individually is very small and won't turn to chametz, but for challah purpose, you put it into a basket, it combines into one large shear, and you can be mafresh challah.
After it's cooked?
After it's cooked, yes. I rode the minatana, you remove it from after it's been baked. Yeah. After it's cooked, you can mitzarif it, yeah.
With bracha?
With bracha, yeah. Lechachila, we do it before, of course.
Right.
But the avid, we say if you forgot, you could do it afterwards also.
Okay.
But complicated, hilchas challah, more than, there's a complicated dinin when it comes to hilchas challah. Okay. So then the Gemara says further, V'amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, halacha, k'Rabbi Eliezer. And we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you to be mitzarif in the sal. But doesn't it say as follows? It only refers to when you have different circular, flat type of bread, which when you place in the oven, they're all touching each other in the oven. When it comes to kachin, which are like long bread sticks, very thin sticks, which will not touch each other in the oven, that you cannot do this din. Only because they touch each other in the oven, then when you put it in the basket, they can be connected. No, ha'it marlai was stated on this, amr b'chinina afil ka'achin, even ka'achin, these small sticks, that's also permitted. So too, the type of matzahs that they were using, which I guess were like these ka'achim, with these types of breadsticks, so that could be mitzarif b'sal, since mitzarif b'sal, fine. So bar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah had the following shayla. Tavla she'en levaz bazim. You have a sheet, a cookie sheet, that didn't have any edges to it. So mahu, can that be mitzarif like a basket? Toch kli bainan v'holaka, you need tochini inside a kli, like a basket, and this doesn't have an inside. Since there are no walls, there's no inside, and therefore this cannot be mitzarif. O dima avir kli bainan v'ha'ika, or maybe you just need airspace. Has to be above where the kli is. And since this is above the kli, even though there are no walls, it's going to be good to be mitzarif. Teku, he doesn't know the answer to this. Tani Rabbi Eliezer Omer hasal mitzarifin. He says again that a basket can be mitzarif the different doves. Rabbi Shu Omer Tani mitzarifin. No, the oven is mitzarifin, but not the basket. Rabbi Shimon Megamli Omer ki karos shabavol shenoshu zumuzum mitzarifos. Only when they're these flat, circular type of breads that are touching each other in the oven. Not lot. You can't have an oven that has two breads away from each other. That's mitzarifin. It has to actually be touching each other. So those are three opinions when it comes to be mitzarif different breads, different doves, and challah. Okay, we have to keep moving. Wow. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Rabbi Gamliel, rather, Omer, Shalosh, Noshim, Lishos, Achas. Three women are able to knead together at the very same time, three different doughs. Vofus, Potonra, Ech, Achar, Echad, Zu, Achar, Zu. So one could place their matzah in the oven, and the other one just waiting. And then after the first one's done, the second one could put her matzah in the oven, and then third one, she's waiting for two people to bake, and then she's able to bake it. The chiddush is that they're allowed to sit, leave the dough out, they're just waiting to bake. Chacham is saying, no, you can't do that. They can be osik with a dough at the same time, which means what? Achas lasha, while one of them is kneading, achas arechas, the other one's starting to
prepare it,
right? Then the achas over, and one of them is baking. They have to do different stages where they're working one after the next. But to leave the dough, which has been kneaded, just sitting out there waiting, that's not permitted. The Gemara is going to elaborate on how exactly to do that. And then Rabbi Kiva Omer, v'lo kol nashim, not all women, v'lo kol etzim, not all wood, v'lo kol tanurim, shavim, not all of them are equal. You can't make a blanket rule. Every woman, every piece of wood, every type of oven is different. Zeklal, tafach, the rule is as follows. Keep this, remember this rule. Tafach, if it begins to rise, you start seeing it swell, tiltosh betonin, quickly put it into cold water. The only real way to check Rabbi Akiva says is seeing how it grows, if it rises or not. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, lo shehi, the one who's kneading it. So then when she gets to the case of mikatefes, when she starts preparing it more, then the chaverta could begin lisha. Then she, the second one could start kneading then. So one of them is kneading them, now one of them is preparing the food. The lasha tachta. Then the mikatefes, the one who started preparing it, then she's open, now she starts to bake it, then the chaverta, her friend now, mikatefes, could start preparing the dough. And then tachta, then behind her, hashlishi, the third one could start, lasha could start kneading. Then ofa he, then the bake...
The first one is baking.
The first one's baking, right? Lasha ofa. No, right, ofahi, that right, the one baking it, then the lasha, he let lasha vechaverta ofa tachde. Then the second one starts baking in the place of the first one. The ashlishish mikatev, the third one starts to prepare. The choses chalil, it goes back and forth. Kolzman sheoskis bebatzik ain't a bali dechimet. So you have constant dealing with the dough. As long as someone's always moving, kneading, baking, preparing the dough, it's never going to turn to chametz. So that's the way Chacham advise you to do it. And Mikiva Omer says the Gemara lokol anashim. Not every woman is equal in terms of baking matzah. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Danti Lefnei Rabban Gamliel, I was once in front of Rabban Gamliel, Yilam Deinu, please, Rabbeinu, please teach me the following. Benoshim Zuzis or Benoshim Zain Zuzis? Are we talking about women who are very zaris or women who are not very zaris? What's the rule? Be'etim Lachim, very moist, which don't burn very well, or you Be'etim Yivayishim, which are dry and do burn very well. Betanur Cham, a very hot tanner, oh, Betanur Tzonur, very cold. What's the case, what's the mission referring to? Amalei, so Rabban Gamliel says to me as follows. Rabban Gamliel says, Ein lecha ela mashishanu chachamim. You only have what the chacham teach us, meaning zaklal tafach tiltosh b'tzonin. If it starts to swell, begins to rise, place it in cold water quickly, and that's the rule. Says the new Mishnah. Masisin says seor yisraf. Seor Rashi tells us is bread dough that hasn't yet turned into chametz entirely, called tzorcho, but it's partially chametz. We saw this mentioned a few blot earlier. So what's the definition of seor? About ochlo, someone who eats seor is pater from karis. However, siduk, if it begins to crack, then yisraf, then a person has to burn it. V'ha'ochlo chayv karis, and a person who eats it's chayv karis. So what's the case of seor, where a person's pater, but what's the case of yistak, where a person's chayv karis? What's the definitions? Se'ezu seor, kikarne chagavim, if it starts to crack a little bit, you start seeing it split slightly, that's the definition of seor. Siduk, what's the definition? Siduk, shenisarvu sadekin zebezeh, where the cracks begin to intertwine with each other, more cooked, more baked, that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham omrim zeh v'zeh ha'ochlo chayv karis. Both cases, if it's karne chagavim, begins to crack, and the cracks, of course, are starting to mix together, those are both chayv karis according to the chachamim. Ve'ezu seir, so what's the case of seir, where you're potter from eating seir? Kol shech sifu panav kadam sha'amdu sarosav. It's talking about a case where a person turns so white that, you know, his hair stands up, he gets so embarrassed, that's how white, when the dough begins to turn that color white, that's when it's called seir. If a person eats it, he's potter. Once it begins to crack, even a little bit, it's too late. It's ready, chayv karis. Says the Gemara, Tanan Rabbanan, Ezu seir, what's the definition of seir? Kol shech sifu panav kaadam sha'am disarosav, when it turns white, like a person's face. Siduk, kikarne chagavim, divrei Rabbi Meir. So that's the definition according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda. V'chacham omrim, Ezu seir, kikarne chagavim, siduk, shenis arvu sadakim zebezeh. V'zebezeh ha'ochul chayv karis. And if you eat either one of them, you're chayv karis. What do you mean you eat either one if you're chayv karis? How we just say chacham says seor is kikarni chagavim. So the Mishnah tells us seor. The Gemara says v'ha'anon tanan seor yisraf ochel pater. Right, pater. Doesn't our Mishnah say if you eat seor you're pater? How then did the chacham in this brisa say if you eat seor you're actually going to be chayv? Says the Gemara, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Ema, Rabbi Meir, Zeh v'zeh ha'ochel chayv karis. So they say as follows. According to Rabbi Meir, the definition of Rabbi Yehuda is that if you eat either one of the cases, whether it's Seir, Karni Chagavim, or it's Shin Sa'arbu Sadakim, according to Rabbi Meir, you're chayv on both those cases. That's what it means to say. But according to the Chacham themselves, they think you're pata for eating something that's Karni Chagavim. Says the Gemara, last line, Amar Rava, my time with Rabbi Meir. Why did Rabbi Meir say this? Because ein lecha kol sedek v'sedek milmala shein lo kama sedakim milmata. Because once you have started cracks on the top, mimele must be so many more cracks on the bottom. That's the definition of chametz. Okay. Hold the stove. Good elbow.